And now come closer and hear these words from 1 Corinthians. Now there are many kinds of grace gifts, but they are all from the same Spirit. There are many different ways to serve, but they're all directed by the same Lord. There are many amazing working gifts in the church, but it is the same God who energizes them all in all who have the gifts.
Each believer has received a gift that manifests the Spirit's power and presence. That gift is given for the good of the whole community. The Spirit gives one person a word of wisdom, but to the next person, the same Spirit gives a word of knowledge.
Another will receive the gift of faith by the same Spirit, and still another, gift of healing, all from one Spirit.
One person is enabled by the Spirit to perform miracles, another to prophecy, while another is enabled to distinguish those prophetic spirits.
The next one speaks in various kinds of unknown languages, while another is able to interpret those languages.
One Spirit works all these things, and each of them individually as he sees fit. Just as the body is one whole, made up of many different parts, and all the different parts comprise one body, so it is with the Anointed One.
We were all ceremonially washed through baptism, together in one body by one Spirit. No matter our heritage, Jew or Greek, insider or outsider, no matter our status, oppressed or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. In the book, A Tree Full of Angels, Macrina Weidecker writes, "I've never been good at feasting on the daily newspaper. It turns bitter in my mouth. And yet this is my world. This is the face of suffering I must embrace as a part of my responsibility. Part of the feast is becoming aware of the world that is mine. Part of the feast is owning this broken world as my own brokenness. I clasp the newspaper to my heart and ask once again in the stillness of the night, what are we doing to the image of God in one another?" We know this feeling. We know it all too well. The words we read in the news, the images we see on TV, the words used to describe them, they are hard to feast on, let alone swallow, because they break our hearts. They break them wide open, and we are pained by what is happening. And yet this is our world. But this is not our inner world. This is not the kingdom of heaven God dreams for us to have in our world. We have something more inside of us. And it's what we have inside that keeps us from breaking apart. It's like the story of the potter in ancient China. A noble is riding through town and he passes a potter at work. He admires the pots the man is making, their grace, the kind of rude strength they have within them. So he dismounts from his horse and says to the potter, "How are you able to form these vessels so they possess such convincing beauty?" "Oh," answers the potter, "you are looking at the mere outward shape. What I am forming lies within. I am interested only in what remains after the pot has been broken. All the memories of it, all the love and joy it evoked. All the words we hear in the news only form the outward shape of this world. But God formed us so that our inner beauty forever remains, no matter how bad things feel broken. No matter how bad we hurt, no matter how bad our hearts are broken open." Henrik Ibsen, a Norwegian dramatist, was a great critic of the society in which he lived, but he was also a really good debater. The story goes that he died while in the midst of a debate. Just as he was about to give his rebuttal, the only word he got out was nevertheless. And at that point, Enrique fell to his death, the victim of a heart attack. The last word he said was nevertheless. We tend to focus on last words as a society. You know, the last thing she said to me was. Or every time he leaves the house, the last thing he says to me is, I love you. Last words are important. And all words are important. Because as spiritual master Anthony DeMaio says, dialogue is the lifeblood of a relationship. But the obstacles to dialogue are many. And those who surmount them are few. Words are important, and the implications each word has is grand. No wonder it's so hard to feast on the words we hear in the news. And then there's God's word that dwells within us, the holy words that are so much easier to ingest so we can somehow digest, the words that describe this ever-changing world we live in. God's words. God's words are holy words. They are words of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Words like nevertheless. The last word Enrique Isbin spoke before he died. You see, nevertheless means however, or but still, or notwithstanding. And it is a word of the Holy Spirit. And it is a word of heroes. Beethoven went deaf. Nevertheless, he continued to compose great music. John Milton was blind. Nevertheless, he continued to write poetry with amazing and beautiful imagery. Helen Keller was blind and deaf. Nevertheless, she contributed immensely to this world. Glenn Cunningham was told at the age of 3 he would never walk again. Nevertheless, he broke the world's record for the fastest mile in 1934. The word nevertheless is the word of the Holy Spirit because it makes heroes out of hurting hearts and splintered lives. When has that word been used with you? When have you felt hurt or at a loss for words or broken or unlovable? Nevertheless, you found it within you to keep going, to keep loving, to keep living, to not let the world eat you up by feasting on your soul. Because each of us has within us everything we need to still have our beauty so we can transform the world with our lives and with our love. Each of us has a gift. Like the scripture says, many gifts, all from the same Spirit. And each believer has received a gift that manifests the Spirit's power and presence for the good of the whole community. Because the Spirit gives one person a word of wisdom, but to the next person, the Spirit gives a world of knowledge. And to the next one, the gift of speaking in different languages, while another one is able to interpret those languages. Whatever the Holy Spirit sees fit, we are gifted with it. Because when I was little, I was shy, extremely shy. I stood behind my mother when she was talking to someone else because I was so shy I couldn't even show my face. Nevertheless, I stand before you today, speaking and not hiding behind a single thing. Never in a million years would I ever have thought I would be a pastor. What is your nevertheless story? What's just one of them? What gift is in you that God is using? Because Jesus came into this world just like we did, and he taught, and he lived, and he preached, and he prayed, and he healed, and then he suffered and died a cruel and painful death. Nevertheless, he rose to life. Amen.